to consult the family, and we have to give you our approval because you have the money to go and do everything you want. My brother preached at Asmugri, but some of us, we sometimes serve that Asmugri.
We have details as chairman of the NDC, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, says the day of accountability for persons pretending to be celebrating Atamilsa's legacy is near.
Just to assure you that next year, this celebration will be massive. That will be the day of accountability for the pretenders. The day is fast coming.
We have details plus here from the NDC flag bearer, John Dramani Mahama, who says the values the former president stood for is missing from the current governance process. Also tonight, minority and majority leadership clash over presidential debate controversy. We hear from majority leader Alexander Fenyomarking, who's daring NDC MPs to advise John Mahama to face off with Dr. Baumia in a debate.
It is important that your MPs should not just follow your flag bearer. They should encourage your flag bearer to make himself available for a debate with Dr. Baumia.
So the vice president can only debate Honorable Adongo. He should debate Honorable Adongo. A driver mate cannot debate an experienced driver.
We have details from all the controversy in Parliament. Also, local miners of Adasongo Lagoon Association rejects Parliament's Mines and Energy Committee's decision not to allow for renegotiation of Electrochem's mining lease to compel the company to release portions of the lagoon to the indigents. We have detailed report of the Energy Committee's meeting, which exonerates the company.
In business, Parliament's Budget Committee to help check budget overruns this year as concerns grow over election-related spending affecting current economic recovery.
And in sports drama at the Olympic Games, as Morocco claims 2-1 victory over Argentina after controversial review 2 hours after the match supposedly ended in a 2-2 draw.
And we'll take you into the election headquarters tonight. An MPP running mate, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, has kickstarted his campaign from the Greater Accra region. He asserts that his nickname, Napo, used by both old and young, points to his humility.
I started being called Napo from the age of 4 because I was born a Napo. And we couldn't say it, my cousins couldn't say it, so we came Napo, 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 Napo. Even when God blesses me, don't have His Excellency, I'll still be Napo.
And the fight against illegal mining conversation reignited as GJA Journalist of the Year and Multimedia Group's Erastus Asare Donko expresses renewed concerns about the lack of political will to fight the canker.
Evidence point to the fact that there are politically exposed people, people within government, influential people in society engaged in the illegal mining business.
And family members of former President John Evans Atamilsa are vowing to deal with dismissed NDC member Koko Enduhu. And the sounds you hear in there are sounds of the confusion that erupted when the two sides clashed today at the Asumdwe Park. There was disagreement at the 12th anniversary relaying ceremony at the park after an event organized by the founder of the Atamilsa Institute, Koko Enduhu, ran over its scheduled time, delaying the second event at the same venue organized by the NDC and the JE. A Mills Memorial Heritage.
Well, some persons who describe themselves as family members of the late Atamilsa were unhappy after they were asked by security personnel to leave. Sister of John Evans Atamilsa, Mercy Araba Kwashi, says they would deal with Koko Enduhu and that the aggrieved group are not family members of the late Atamilsa.
We don't know them from anywhere. And they were here. He has schooled them, telling them that the rest of us, we are paternal brothers and sisters, and they are the real Atamilsa family. It was so disgusting to find an 80-year-old woman pouring libation and hitting her tummy saying that Fifi Mama won. And I was wondering if she gave birth as a baby. And now, I want to make it clear to everyone that Koko has stepped on the wrong foot. By tampering with our brother's grave without our knowledge, that is totally unacceptable.
Well, we also heard today from the president's brother, Samuel Ata Mills. He says Koko Aindoho bastion individuals he labeled as fake family members and instructed them to stay put, preventing the NDC and the JEA Mills Memorial Heritage from starting his program on time.
What an irony. You are not related to this man. No, anybody could come here and celebrate him. He's for the country. But why would you want to clash with us? And then, as a coward as he is, he ran away and then left the people over here. Now, the military was here to try and keep some peace. And what did he do? He called somebody who had power somewhere to tell the military that they were intimidating them. We didn't intimidate anybody. But when persuasion fails, force is applied. It is true, we are at Azundre Park. But when we talk to you and you don't understand, sometimes a little bit of encouragement will make you move. So as a coward as he is, he ran away and left his people, the fake family over here. So that's what happened. It wasn't anything serious. It was just a friendly, interaction. That was it. We are here. We are setting up. And we are going to have the proper function. If Koku has wants a father, his real father is around. He could go there. If he wants a job, why doesn't he get a real job instead of benefiting off somebody's family name? So that was what happened.
So you're saying that those claiming to be the family members are not a family members?
They are not family members. Now they are claiming all kinds of things. That Prof has a different mother. They should look. This is the funny part. They brought a lady over here this week who is supposed to be Prof's mother. This woman is 80 years old. And if Prof had been alive, he would have been 80 years old. So his mother is 80 years old and he is 80 years old. So does it mean that he and his mother were twins? My goodness.
Well, my colleague Master Baba saw it all unfold. He joins me in the studio. At what point did they clash?
Well, that was just when the second event was about to take place, and some security personnel started barking orders at the group that took part in the first event to leave and make way for the second event to commence. That was the point when they said they were not going to leave and that they had not finished with the program that they attended. About 150 of them came in four sprinter buses, and they were all staying put and said they were not moving until they lay some wreath and did other things that, you know, they had come there to do. So at that point, it was difficult for the second group to set up and start a function. So just when the media team were arriving, specially invited guests were also arriving on the ground. That was the point that they had to start setting up their lineary speakers, their canopies, their chairs, and all of that. So a lot of people who came for the NDC and the JEA Memorial Heritage event actually saw the setting up of the canopies, the lineary speakers, I mean, everything. Usually, that would have happened before, you know, the main event, you know, starting today.
And of course, John Mama was there.
Yes.
The national chairman of the NDC himself was there.
Yes.
And he has something to say about this.
Yes. So John Mahama's speech was silent on the incident. In fact, he was not present when it happened. But some of the party stalwarts were there. I saw the member of parliament for the Dududu constituency, Neil Antivanderpoel. He was part of the people who calmed tensions and had meetings with the grief group, spent about 30 minutes having interactions with them before they left the premises. But Johnson Asiedun Kitia has been speaking directly to the issue. He says there are some people who are pretending to be celebrating the legacy of Professor John Evans Atta Mills. He says next year's event is going to be massive, and that the pretenders will be made to account.
Let us remember Professor Mills as a man of peace and a unifier. It is unfortunate that after his death, some pretenders would want to do everything by way of remembering him, everything that he never stood for. Because of the speech of Anti-Araba, I don't intend to go further. And just to assure you that next year, this celebration will be massive. And that will be the day of accountability for the pretenders. The day is fast coming.
And that there is John Singh Asirin Kitia, as the national chairman of the NDC, was at the event. We also had Samuel Mills' brother to the former president. He was also there at the event and joins us right now on the line. Thank you, sir, for your time here on Newsnight.
Thank you very much.
Have you had any further clarity on why this happened? And I heard you speaking to the, my colleagues there, talking about the military intervening at some point. Have you had some clarity on why this happened?
Good evening to your listeners. The unfortunate thing was, I put the blame squarely on national security. What they did was they approved for Kwaku and the rented family to come in the morning, and then NDC and the real family also to come there in the morning. My understanding before I got there was, the fake family was to come there and perform whatever they wanted to do from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And we would come there at 7 a.m. and then set up and then be ready at 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Now, the rented family did not start their program at 6 o'clock. I got there about 7:15. It was then that they were getting ready. There was drumming going on. But we were supposed to be setting up. But apparently, this Anyidoho boy had told his people that they were not going to leave till 12 noon. So that was going to disrupt ours. And that was not going to happen. So we did what we had to do, and then set up our tents, and then make sure that we encouraged them to move away.
I mean, you knew before today when yours was supposed to start. You were communicated that they also had an event there at the time, early in the morning.
Yes, they knew that theirs was supposed to start at 6 and end at 7. And we were supposed to come in at 7 right after they finished for us to set up. Start our program from 9 to 11. And then after 11, they could come back and do whatever they wanted to do. But they decided that no, since they didn't start early, they were going to stay there till noon. But that is not fair to us. Yes, anybody could go there and do whatever they wanted to do if they asked for permission. But we had our time. You agreed. The rented family agreed with us. And then why are you changing your mind?
So you directly negotiated this with them directly before today?
Our team negotiated with their team. And that was the understanding that we came to. So when we got there, there was a military people out there. And then there was some police out there. And somebody, the invisible hands behind this rented family, had even told the military that they were intimidating them.
You call them rented family. Kwaku explains that this is the maternal side.
Say, there is no maternal side. Does he know my family? He only worked for my brother for 6 years, and he seems to know my family better than I. My goodness. He doesn't know my family. What he is doing is he's being used by some invisible hands. He gave those people 200 cedis each for them to come out there. Some of them didn't know why they came there.
And how did you come by this information?
Oh, because I asked them.
And they told you that Koku gave them money to be pastor?
He gave them money for them to come. Look, I went to some of the people and asked them, why they were doing what they were doing? Because that was a disgrace.
And they told you that Koku gave them money?
They were given money to come out there. There were some invincible hands financing Koku and Ido. Look, political power comes with expiration date. Political power comes with expiration date. And there will be a time that political power that you have will expire. When it expires, the tables will turn. That is when you will understand some of the folly you've been going through.
I mean, you talk about political power expiring, but Koku Aindoho, under his negotiations and ability to lobby, got the Asunjue Park refurbished to this particular state that you currently
use. My goodness.
To
have you gone to the Asunjue Park?
And remember the man. And he criticizes your own efforts at a time when the NDC was in power, that the place was neglected.
Have you been to the Asunjue Park?
Not recently.
You should go there and ask yourself, what is Asunjue Park? Ask those SHS people right now, what is Asunjue Park? And nobody knows the meaning of Asunjue Park. Who is buried out there? You never see it or know it until you get to the grave. When you go there right now, there's a statue over there and it has the president's name and Koku Aindoho's name on it.
Because of his efforts to renovate the place. It's a fact that that place was renovated.
Sir, I know you are a very learned person. If you see every statue anywhere in the world, is the name of the person on the statue that is written on it, not the person who erected it.
Well,
look, he seems to have a personal problem with some people, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. This doesn't make any sense. The people, look at one funny thing. They brought an older lady to the park, and they claimed that she was the mother of Professor Mills. That lady is 80 years old. The woman was close to the grave and saying, "Mother number one, that I gave birth to Professor Mills." She's 80 years old. Prof would have been 80 years this week. Does it mean that he has his mother are twins?
Mr. Tamils, but more substantively, though, the concern that many have is that it's been 12 years since the passing of the former president, and it appears that this issue about the back and forth between one side and the other side will never go away. At what point will it end?
It's going to end. It started from today. Count on it. My family and I, we are going to stop Koku Aindoho in any way possible, whether legal, spiritual, physical, or any other way. We are going to stop that guy immediately.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Do we have any timelines as exactly as in when you're going to be doing this that you talk about for this to end once and for all?
Stay tuned.
You're suggesting you're going to be using fair or foul means. Foul means illegality.
I never use foul.
Well,
I never use the word foul.
Or any means you can master.
Any means necessary means any means necessary.
Well, any means
this guy is not a family
means.
Member. How can he go to Register General's office and register Atanos Institute when he's not an Atanos person and none of the so-called directors is related to Atanos? Can I set up Akufo-Addo Institute without the permission of the president? Can I do that?
Any means necessary could also include illegal means.
Listen, take your definition of it, and I'm going to take my definition of it. And my family and I, we are going to stop this guy in any means possible.
That sounds like a threat.
It's not a threat. It's an invitation for him to stop what he's doing.
If he doesn't
stop? He goes around collecting money. That's all he does. I don't care about the money. You can do whatever you want to do with the money.
But what's your evidence, Mr. Atamils? What's your evidence?
Thank you. I have so many people who have come to me to tell me that the money that was written for him to support them to build Cheese Palace or something, you know, it came at the wrong time. And I keep on telling them that, no, I never wrote that thing.
But that is, if what you're saying is true, that's defrauding individuals. You haven't reported them to the police?
Which police? The police that was aiding him today. You see, when you have somebody who is acting with invincible hands that are connected to other political parties, that's why I told you starting off with that any political power you have comes with an expiration date. And when that expiration date comes, you will not be able to keep on misbehaving the way you are.
Thank you very much. And that there is Samuel Atamils. And by the way, it's 12 years exactly. Since the former president died. And I always remember, I don't know where I was when it happened. I always say he died 24/7 because 24th, 7th, 24th July is when he died. And by the way, it shares it, by the way, my son. So I know it happens every day.
Yeah.
Every year, I sort of remember what happened on that day. I remember I was in the newsroom when the news broke.
When it happened.
We've just heard there from the family, and the question was asked, when will this end?
At some point, it has to end so that at least the name and the legacy of the late president, at least, will be, protected. But let's do some other stories now here on Newsnight. Many of your messages are coming in. We'll get to take them. But local miners of Ada Songo Lagoon Association have rejected Parliament's Mines and Energy Committee's decision not to allow for renegotiation of Electrochem Ghana Limited's mining lease to allocate more concession to local miners. While Parliament in November 2023 constituted a joint committee of mines and energy as well as lands and forestry to look into the salt mining contract awarded to Electrochem Ghana Limited, advised the House on the possibility of allowing the local people mine alongside the company.
Well, this followed clashes between the company and residents who have accused Electrochem of taking over their livelihood. The committee has concluded its work and has come out with some recommendations. My colleague James Abeji joins me with excerpts of this report. Let's start with the terms of reference of the committee.
Evan, so the committee had, among other things, three jobs. One is to review the contract ratified by Parliament on November 6, 2020, to undertake a visit to the Songo Lagoon and finally advise the House on the possibility of renegotiating the contract to leave some portions of the lagoon to the indigenous to continue their small-scale mining.
We'll talk about the recommendations then of that committee.
And so the committee said, after speaking to all stakeholders in the issue, they are of the view that there's no legal basis for reviewing the three mining lease ratified in Parliament. In fact, the report noted that Electrochem had earlier allocated a 1,000-acre portion out of the 41,000 acres they occupy to the indigents. So they are only urging Electrochem Ghana to consider allocating some more space to the indigents in an arrangement that is mutually beneficial to the two sides to further deepen local participation. It goes on to say that to further recommend what it calls a serious security engagement in the communities so the resident disease from any form of lawlessness to pave way for a national undertaking with export benefit to function at full throttle. Again, the chiefs, stakeholders, and the police should educate the indigenous on the fact that Ghana has a stake in Electrochem and its salt mining business in Ada Songo, and any act of lawlessness against the company is a direct confrontation with law enforcement agencies in Ghana, unquote.
And what about the clashes and the deaths recorded?
The committee says the police should continue investigations into the killings and prosecute the perpetrators that will be found culpable.
Well, we can listen to the PRO of the Ada Songo Lagoon Association. Have you been interacting with them?
Yeah.
What exactly do they disagree when it comes to the recommendations of the committee?
So they are of the view that, according to a PNDC law that the then administration put in place to resolve the issue, they declassified salt out of the general minerals that we have, and so give them the right to own that, contrary to the provisions of the Constitution that gives minerals under to the state to oversee. And so they disagree with the committee's report and the recommendations as well.
We are disagreeing with whatever they have done. Whatever, because the second day I went with them and I pointed out clear that all the laws, all the acts that they have mentioned, it does not include the PNDC law. PNDC law became like a savior for us. The PNDC law came since that day they based the law on the DC. There was no death. There was no shoot bullet out of any gun in someone like that by hitting anybody or killing anybody.
The committee report.
The committee. I have not yet received it because they're supposed to give us. And if we have received it and the way you are saying is true, that is what they have said, what it means is that we will be heading towards Supreme Court of the land for interpretation to happen over there, because we are not going to agree. If it happened this way, the last sitting when I met them, I told them that I begged them with my God, I begged them with everything, that you look at the thing again and make sure they do just so that we, the people who are living in Ada, who continue to have peace. Ada is the whole Ghana, Ada is the most peaceful place. But because of this is what we are facing.
Well, what about Electrochem themselves? We can speak to Abdul Razak Adam, is the CEO of Electrochem Ghana Limited, joins us right now. And Razak Adam, tell me, what's the reaction from your company to these findings?
So as far as we at Electrochem are concerned, we believe that the committee has done a very thorough and a very good job that is in accordance with the law of Ghana. And at the same time, it is the rule of law at the end of the day that must prevail. If you notice that the original concession was vested in Ada Songo salt project, and this was owned by the government, and government vested it into a management committee, there was no point in time this particular lease has been put in the hands of individuals or indigenous. So that being said, it is the government concession that has been privatized to Electrochem to manage it and put in the right investment. And if I may refer you back, we are looking at a concession that is currently underutilized. That was underutilized. The production under concession was only about 2.5% of the potential output. Before Electrochem took over, the concession was only producing under 40,000 metric tons a year. This is projected under Electrochem to go up to 1 million metric tons, and in 2 years, this will be 2 million metric tons. So let me tell you the dollar values associated with these tons that I'm talking about. 1 million metric tons would give us $200 million. And then 2 million metric tons is $400 million. Then come back and compare that to cocoa and gold. And you realize that cocoa and gold pale in comparison if we are able to realize the potential.
Well, the numbers
become a destination and a hub for salt in the world.
The numbers may be good, but it has to translate into affecting people's lives. And first of all, the immediate lives of those in the community in which you operate. The committee recommends that it should consider giving out voluntary concessions to these individuals in your community. Will you be doing that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So let me just let my listeners observe that under what we call community plan system. Under the community plan system, Electrochem has already allocated over 1,000 acres to the indigenous to do their mining. And that community plan system would continue under organized group, the chiefs, the youth groups, the market women, and other groups that have come. Me as the CEO, for the past 6 months, I have received a lot of applications for community plans, which I have approved. And through that, the indigenous continue to mine side by side and coexist with us. The committee recommendation, we would accelerate it. We would increase the allocation of community funds, and we intend to work with every peaceful member of the community to ensure that the indigenous continue to mine their salt as they do. Not only would we give them the funds for free, We have invested over $10 million in brine. That is the salt water that would not only serve Electrochem, but would also serve the community members. But all this will be done under responsible mining. Not before, when the lagoon was desecrated and turned into a desert, in a way that the lagoon was literally not functioning. Environmentally, it was not safe and all that. So Electrochem coming into being, we have revitalized the lagoon in a way that we don't only see salt producers. We have 1,000 women and men that are now fishing within the lagoon and making livelihood out of that. So our impact on the community is enormous, not to talk about the schools that we have built, the water, the portable source of water that we've given to every community that is affected. And right now, the biggest festival that is bringing Ada into Lamla is Asatufu Festival. Electrochem is the number one sponsor of that festival, just to make sure that we make the city vibrant. We are creating a chemical university within Ada to ensure that all salt-related byproducts, research is being done there to create employment for the people of Ada. And in Electrochem, I have made it a policy that when we have vacancy and recruitment, unless we can find, that is where we go out. And currently, 75% of our employees are all indigenous of Ada.
And Razak, very quickly, you've indicated that on the back of this committee report, you're going to increase the concessions.
Absolutely, that is the plan.
How much more land size will we be allocating for this purpose?
As much as they need. I can tell you that we have about 43,000 acres, right? That is covering the concession. And right now, Electrochem is only working on less than 7,500 acres. So we believe that there is enough to go around.
Okay. Abdul Razak Adam, thank you very much. He's the CEO of Electrochem Ghana Limited. So listening to Newsnight, it's on Joy 99.7 FM. I'll return from Business MFI. I'm looking forward to this. The debate before the debate. It is happening on the floor before a potential debate.
And there's a minority debate team, yes, and club and all, yes, that. We'll be talking about it.
Yes, we'll be talking about that. You're looking forward to a debate between John Mahama and Baumia?
Yeah. Be bad.
No, it'll be bad,
nice,
at all.
Yeah.
It'll be bad at all. George Afe, what do you make of that?
It should happen.
Yeah.
It won't be bad. 24-hour economy against digital economy.
It should only happen when the election headquarters organizes it. Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No other place.
Yeah.
George, what do you have in the headlines?
Well, Evans, coming up, Parliament's budget committee to help check overruns this year as concerns grow over election-related spending affecting the current economic recovery. Government gets $840 million as revenue from crude exports for the first half of this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business.
Attention, shoppers and textile lovers. The Ghana Revenue Authority introduces the textile tax stamp, effective from July 1st, 2024. This stamp protects your jobs and livelihoods from illicit trading, counterfeiting, and smuggling. This is not a tax. It is just a compliance measure to protect the textiles industry in Ghana. So which products are affected? All African prints, textiles are included. Look out for the green border for domestic products, red border for imports, and blue for the transition period. Remember, look for the textile tax stamp when you buy. Protect our local industry and jobs. For importers and manufacturers, register and get your stamps at your nearest GRA office or online at www.gratextiletaxstamp.com. Please note, it is an offense to display, buy, or sell products without the stamp. Enforcement begins July 1st, 2024. Remember, no stamp, don't buy.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom.
Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeji, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Chuboy! Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for, but I want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Coma and now for four, a dial in *712# and found no regrets. A side coma investors are a striking goal. A coma health workers are a diagnosis of luck with precision. A side coma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a coma passionate fanner or no so ain't even containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a coma, if you say your next big win is right here.
*712#
Dial *712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the new Budget Committee of Parliament will work hard to check expenditure that has not been approved by the House in the coming months. Now, that's assurance coming from the Chairman of Parliament Finance Committee, Patrick Bwama. It follows concerns that the country will once again not escape the election curse because Parliament will fail to exercise its oversight responsibility. But Chairman of the Parliament Finance Committee, Patrick Bwama, disagrees.
Because of some of these challenges, Parliament, in its wisdom, through the new rules of the House, has set up a budget committee. So that budget committee will have that oversight and ensure that we stay within our budgetary limits and even reduce expenditure. The Finance Committee will complement them, but the overall basis will be to ensure that we stay within our budget numbers.
There's another bit about signaling confidence to the development partners, the creditors, and even within the business community as well. Do you think that this statement that he has laid before the House is addressing those critical concerns?
I believe so, because the business community wants to see a government or the Minister of Finance streamlining a lot of waste in the system, let me put it that way. They also want to see some discipline within all sectors of the economy.
Patrick Boama is chairman of Parliament's Finance Committee. Now, Lands and Forestry Minister Samuel Jinapo is optimistic of securing Parliament's approval for the lithium mining deal. Now, government has already submitted the agreement between the state and the company working to extract the mineral. However, sections of the public have raised concerns about the deal. The minister says all these concerns have been addressed.
I am very confident in the arrangements we made with our lithium resources, and I think that the pundits have won.
I think we're getting a good deal?
We've got a very fantastic deal, and it's been scrutinized over and over again, and I think that what we put together is absolutely in the national interest. We'll be appearing before the Natural Resources Committee of Parliament next week, and the matter is in the, within the confines of Parliament, and when we come, we will make our case before the committee. It's my expectation that the House will ratify it. So this project, which is going to unleash hundreds and thousands of jobs in the central region and also bring about a lot of opportunities, economic opportunities for Ghanaian private sector, will take off. And so we will see that.
Lands and Forestry Minister Samuel Jinapo. The government has rolled out fresh measures that would help improve revenue and achieved the end-of-year targets. Now, this was captured in the 2024 media budget review presented to Parliament. There is more in this report.
Government is hoping to raise 177 billion cedis in revenue by the end of this year. This is coming after government revised the revenue target for 2024. It also follows fresh data which showed that the revenue numbers are not looking good. But the finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, believes that some of these measures will help improve the situation going forward. According to the media budget, government is looking at implementing property tax, deepening engagement with both Ghana Revenue Authority and other stakeholders when it comes to tax collections, and addressing the various loopholes in revenue mobilization. Government also believes that plans by the Ghana Revenue Authority to add more than 2,000 taxpayers on board the VAT electronic system will also help the situation. There are also plans to share data with tax authorities in the country to help zone in foreign nationals evading taxes due to the state. Government believes that these measures could go a long way to help improve the revenue situation by the end of this year and help deal with the concerns of donors and external creditors.
And that is a business desk report. Now, government secured $840 million as revenue from crude exports for the first half of this year. Now, this came in the form of taxes and royalties paid by companies operating on the country's oil fields. Now, this update was captured in the Ghana Petroleum Funds report ending June this year. Now, Talo paid the highest in terms of corporate taxes to the state of $86 million. Now, the seven oil firms operating on the country's oil fields paid $476 million in the form of corporate taxes to the state. And let's look at some company news where Unilever has seen its profit hit 203 million Ghana cedis for the end in June this year from 179 million Ghana cedis posted in June last year. This was captured in its financial update released to investors on the Ghana Stock Exchange today. And that's all for Business on News Night. Back to you, Evans and
George. Thank you very much. And if a debate happens, the economy will be front
digital center. Against 24 hours.
No, that's how you are pictured it already. Yeah. Okay. And Ms. Bao is here with sports.
Hello, Evans. Well, the Olympic Games, you know, somewhat has started. It's the football event that has started today. Official opening ceremony will take place on Saturday, July 26th. However, in one of the games that did take place today was Morocco versus Argentina, ended chaotically and also very dramatically because Morocco were leading 2-1 as a 90th minute. Then the referee added 15 minutes. And guess what? Argentina equalized on the 16th minute of that added time. Argentina equalized on the 16th minute. And when Argentina equalized,
Beyond the added time?
Yes, beyond the added time. So when Argentina equalized, the fans invaded the pitch and the game was suspended for 2 hours. For 2 hours. And everybody thought the game had ended. And pretty much all the, portals reported the game had ended 2-2. 2 hours later, we understand that the referee returned to the field and said the game had not ended and it had been stopped because of the fans' invasion. And the goal that Argentina scored, VAR checked it, and apparently it was offside.
Extraordinary.
Absolutely extraordinary. And so the Argentine fans were celebrating. They had equalized, you know, late in other time. But after 2 hours...
Extraordinary. I need to watch this unfold.
Yeah, Morocco ended up winning it.
I thought I've seen it all in football. There was one case in the EPL where Manchester United scored after the final whistle had been blown.
Yeah.
Because of anybody's like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's the first time it's happened.
I want to check the VAR.
Yeah, but this is 2 hours later.
2 hours later, you know, and, you know, the head coach of Argentina, Mascherano, he responded. He said he called it a circus. And even Lionel Messi took to Instagram to react to it. And he said, unbelievable. He said, and I don't know if Argentina, they speak Spanish. He said, insoleto. That should be Spanish somewhat there. Anyway, the Minister for Youth and Sports has been addressing the press earlier today, talking about the youth resource centres that have been abandoned. Well, pictures surfaced of the whole youth resource centre, which had been overgrown with weeds, and a few others, with protests even held in Exim over the facility's abandonment. Well, the minister says that the facility's abandonment is largely due to financial constraint. However, he's assuring that he will try and get some funds released for the facilities to be completed.
We had challenges with some of them, and I must admit, with regards to payment to the contractors. But because the contractors have not handed over the project to us, you can't go and use it because we have not commissioned them. The challenges has to do with payment of their certificates. But we are working very hard to make sure that they get their payment and they can go back and complete them for us to put them to good use.
Yeah, so that's the Sports Minister Mustafa Usif there on the Youth Resource Centres. Well, Evans, we've got a show tonight on Joy Prime, 9 p.m. We're previewing the Olympic Games that is set to start in 2 days from now. We're going to be talking about Ghana's athletes there, Azamati. We have the 4x100 team who will be competing. Azamati will be competing in the 100 meters. We have Saminu who will be competing in the 100 meters and the 200 meters. So we've got some swimmers there. And, you know, one high jumper, Rose Yabora, rather, will be competing in the high jump. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. But very instructively, though, is that for the first time in a long time, you're not going to have boxers at the Olympic Games. And Ghana's only medal, in fact, most medal, we've won four. Ghana...
I come through boxing.
Exactly. Boxing has given us four of the medals from the Olympic Games. So it's really surprising. Has not seen boxers at the Olympic Games. So 9 p.m. Joy Prime, we're previewing all of it.
And Fencho is all there make a day. For us.
Yes, Fencho has arrived in France to report on the Olympic Games.
Thank you very much.
You want to catch that also live on all our social media platforms. Let's head to Parliament now and maybe try to settle that controversy when it comes to
the debate or not to debate.
Exactly. So the leadership of both the majority and minority, they've clashed over the subject of a presidential debate going into the 2024 election. Well, the NPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, we know, has on a number of occasions challenged the NDC flag bearer, John Dramani Mahama, to a debate. While speaking in Parliament today, the majority leader, Alexander in your marking, also threw a challenge to the NDC MPs to advise their leader to square off in a presidential debate if he's truly serious about returning to the presidency.
It is important that your MPs should not just follow your flag bearer. They should encourage your flag bearer to make himself available for a debate with Dr. Bawumia. Because you are, Mr. Speaker, in this election, we should make available facts to Ghanaians. And I would encourage us as parliamentarians to urge upon our flag bearers to avail themselves for a debate. We need a debate. The way we debate in this chamber, Mr. Speaker, is very important. And this is a call I'm making as a leader of the House, that let us encourage debate so that the name calling, the insinuation, the toxic nature of the political space could be brought down.
So that was the challenge. I'm sure you're curious about hearing what the minority's response is. First, there were two responses, and in fact, three responses, followed by, after the two on the floor, there was a press conference following that. First, let's hear the minority chief whip, Kwame Gavin Sagbuja. He says that Dr. Bawumia should first subject himself to questions by journalists instead of calling for a debate.
As for the debate out there, I'm sure the unemployed want to debate Dr. Bawumia.
people clearing goods, paying 20 different taxes at the court, would like to debate him. So actually, the people who really want to debate him are out there. They should debate the people of this country. President Mahama is just one individual. Debate the millions of people who are struggling under the hands of President, Vice President, and then we'll get there. In any case, I am not aware that anybody has invited anybody to a debate and the person have decided not to come.
Well, so that was the immediate response. Matt, let's take you to Parliament now. Kweku Asante has all the lowdown on this particular issue. So, Kweku, there was a further response from the minority leader himself. What was it?
Yes, MFA, according to Dr. Kasiel Atuforsen, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is not the level of John Dramani Mahama. In fact, he refers to the allusion made by the Vice President that he's a driver's mate and says, an inexperienced driver's mate cannot debate an experienced driver.
Mr. Speaker, monkeys, they say, play by sizes. Mr. Speaker, how can a driver mate debate an experienced driver? Mr. Speaker, in this house, the spokesperson for the minority on the issues of finance is Honorable Adongo. The spokesperson for the minority for the issues of the economy is Honorable Kweku Rikitege. And the spokesperson for the budget for the minority is Honorable Ampendako. Mr. Speaker, we all know that the chairman of the economic management team is the vice president. So the vice president can only debate Honorable Adongo. He should debate Honorable Adongo. Or debate Honorable Kweku Rikitege. A driver mate cannot debate an experienced driver.
No.
Mr. Speaker, that is a fact. So we throw at the challenge. He should debate Honorable Adongo first, Honorable Ampem second, and Honorable Kweku Rikitege third, before he could consider debating President Mahama. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is the answer. He should go and debate him first.
Well, so Kweku, that was not all. We know that it was followed by a press conference by the minority. They are outlining certain issues that they are hoping that the vice president will address. Let's go through them.
Yes, Evan, MFI and Evans, we've been hearing from Ahmed Ibrahim, who is the first deputy minority, who says that in fact, tomorrow, as MPs begin to debate the media budget review statement the minister presented only yesterday, he expects the vice president to stop campaigning and come to parliament and debate with MPs.
The NDC minority is in parliament is inviting Vice President Alhaji Mahmoud Bawumia to participate in the debate on the media fiscal policy review of 2021 on the budget which was presented to us yesterday. The budget statement and economic policy is scheduled to take place tomorrow, and that the debate will take place tomorrow. So we are calling on His Excellency the Vice President to join the debate. The debate begins on Thursday, 25th July 2024 in the Parliamentary Chamber at 10 o'clock in the forenoon. The minority is extending the public invitation to the Vice President, giving his role as Chairman of the Economic Management Team of the government. Parliamentary rules permit a sitting Vice President to participate in debate on the floor of the House. And this is stated in Article 110 of the 1992 Constitution. And this is a copy of the Constitution. So if you open Article 110, it says that the Vice President, a sitting Vice President, is permitted to take place on the debate on the floor.
And Kweku, the minority, they've been listing for us the members of their debating team.
Yes, Evans, you heard Dr. Kessel Asufose mention some names, but they provided a further name. They said they have George Kweku Rikitege, they have the Honorable Isaac Adungo, they have Honorable Thomas Ampem Nyako, they have Honorable John Abdullahi Junapo, they have Honorable Eric Opoku, Honorable Ladi Ayi Ayamba, and Honorable Joseph Bukari Nipe. This is their team to face off with Dr. Bawumia if he dares land on the floor of Parliament tomorrow to participate in this debate.
About 35% of the Ghanaian youth are unemployed, the highest in the Fourth Republic. This has never happened before. So tomorrow when he comes and we debate, we'll find an antidote to all this. This is what Ghanaians want to hear. And the Constitution has given him that opportunity. So he should not just go and stand somewhere and be saying somebody should come for debate. Ghanaians are in Parliament. And the Ghanaians are those that who gave him the opportunity. So he must come and debate Ghanaians on the floor of Parliament
tomorrow. So the NDC minority fund is bewildering that Alhaji Bahmood Bamia still has the audacity to call for a debate on the economy. And if he does, we are creating that opportunity for him. Despite his poor economic performance, he says debate will solve the problem. So we are waiting for him. That notwithstanding, the NDC minority has lined up a crack team. So tomorrow when he comes, he must know the people he's coming to debate with. A crack team of debaters for a showdown. And the following are they. Honorable Kwaku Reketegan is the chairman of the Committee on Economy and Development. So we'll debate the economy proper. Honorable Azega Dongo, he's the ranking member on finance. So it's going to, the debate is going to be on finance and economy. So Mahmoud Bamia should know the people he's coming to face. Honorable Thomas Ampinyaku, he's the chairman of the Budget Committee. So they just presented the budget and we are debating it. So he must come along that line. Honorable John Ablai Dinapo, and he's the ranking member on the Committee of Energy, also member of the Finance Committee. Honorable Eric Opoku, and he's the ranking member. He's the ranking member on Food, Agriculture, and Cocoa Affairs, and member of the Committee on Economy and Development.
And that is a debating club, yes. The NDC Minority Debaters Club.
Yes.
Interesting. This is your election headquarters. And your election headquarters is always brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and CIMA together. As the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Chop Boss Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation. And guess what? Today, the vice presidential candidate, the running mate to Dr. Bahmia, has been touring, and my colleague Samuel Mbura has been traveling with him. Where has he been and what has he been saying, Samuel?
Yeah, hello, Evans, can you hear me?
I can. Where has he been? What has he been saying?
Hello, Evans. If you could say that again, I'll be grateful. I didn't hear that.
What has he been saying?
Well, so Dr. Maito Okoko-Prempeh's tour is to familiarize himself with the traditional authorities. As he said, they are the major stakeholders as far as his leadership is concerned. So basically, he's meeting the traditional leaders, assuring them that he and Dr. Mahmoud Bahmia, given the opportunity, will transform Ghana. And then he's reaffirming that is someone and someone who will be accessible by all if he's given the opportunity. So basically, he's propagating the agenda of the MPP if they are given the opportunity to govern the country in 2025 onwards, and also what he's capable of doing.
Why is this man everywhere he goes, he comes from there? Because we are one people. We are one people. But truly, and that is my hope. And you see, people hesitate in calling me Napo. I started being called Napo from the age of 4 because I was called Napo. And we couldn't say it, my cousins couldn't say it, so we came Napo. Napo was Napo when I went to primary school. Teachers called me Napo. My friends called me Napo. Napo has become so much so that in my own house, when some nurses came to look for me to give me a donation, and they met my brother, and they said, Dr. Prempeh, they said, there's no Dr. Prempeh in this house. They actually, when they came back, they said, are you going to resemble him? He said, brother, put our work on.
And that there is Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, Doctor, a.k.a.
Napo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says it points to his humility. And it's time for us to get out of here. And it's time for the strong and the sassy Noella
yeah.
is in. What are we talking about
so tonight? We have